Well, we're pleased you can join us for Journey Through the Word with Pastor Rob and Pastor Terry. This book-by-book journey through the Bible is designed to help you in your daily walk with Christ and how to live out the truth of His Word in loving obedience. For more information about Journey Through the Word or West Hickory Baptist Church, please visit us at www.westhickorybaptist.org. We pray that Journey Through the Word blesses you and encourages you as you seek to advance His kingdom. Be prepared for His Word to change you. Well, good afternoon, or good morning, I guess, depending on which time zone you live in and when you're listening to this. So we're glad you're with us back for session two this morning. And so this is Pastor Rob along with Pastor Terry.
Good morning.
So we're going to jump right on in, just have a quick word of prayer, and we're going to jump right on in into Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. So, Father, we come before you right now to thank you for the opportunity we have to just to have fun sitting around and discussing your word. And, Lord, there's a lot of great truth in your word. And so I pray that as you give us wisdom, as we pull these truths out of these two chapters this morning, Lord, that we are just glorifying you as we do that this morning, Lord. And also, Lord, we want to just ask that if there's anybody listening here today, Father, that doesn't know you, that you will draw them to yourself today, Lord, and that they will hear your voice, and that they will be able to place their faith in you today, Lord. And so that at the end of the day, that their life will be different than it was when it started today, God. So that is our prayer, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to just share your word here today, Lord, and pray that it's just a blessing for those who are listening. And so as we dive into Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, we ask for your guidance and your leading. We thank you and we love you. Amen. So, Pastor Terry, I don't know if you've ever been involved in a discussion about creation. So, but do you wonder why this first chapter of Genesis generates so much controversy and what it is really meant to teach? This study will help you understand the author's purpose in writing and what his message taught Israel about their God, his creation, and their special place in the natural world. It will also help you to consider how this account is relevant today. Remember, Genesis 1, like other books in the Bible, describes natural events in popular and non-technical language. It reports them as they appear to the average person without explaining exactly how they took place. And the emphasis on the who and why, the Creator and His purposes in creation. So, just to start off, quick question. Why do you think so many people have a hard time accepting the first five words of Genesis 1:1?
Well, let's start with looking at them five words. It says, in the beginning, God created. We have to realize that there are different beliefs. And the first couple of verses in Genesis 1:1 discredits atheism, pantheism, and polytheism, and evolution. We have to realize that a lot of us do not believe that we are created beings, that we were created by a sovereign God, an almighty God. But when we read Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As Warren Wiersbe says, quoting him, he says, when God speaks, something's going to happen. Verse 1 states that God created the heavens and the earth from nothing in the beginning. God created heaven and earth. Verse 2 clarifies that statement. Let's read that verse real quick. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. As we observe God in the work of creation, we get a glimpse of who God is, His omnipotent, almighty power. We serve a transcendent God, that is, God exists apart from His creation and is not subject to His creation. We serve a God that is eternal. Verse 1 clearly states that God has no beginning, because in the beginning, God was. We see this. God in the beginning. We also see here in chapter verse 2 a clear picture of the Holy Spirit's work in creation.
Yeah, exactly. Then as we move into verse 3, starting with verse 3, kind of through the end of the chapter, we get the 6 days of creation. And so just for time's sake, we're not going to read all what is that, 30 verses or 27 verses of that. But I just quickly want to highlight day 1, God created light and dark. Day 2, God created the expanse. Day 3, God gathered waters and formed the land. Day 4, God created light in heaven, basically meaning he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Day 5, God created all the fish of the sea and birds of the air. And then day 6, God created the animals and man.
And I want to close out chapter 1 with reading verse 31. And it said, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I want to take a moment and just say, I thank God for that. The Bible is God revealing himself to us, but at the same time, we can get some life application out of chapter 1. We see here that there's about 7 times that God stepped back and saw what he made, that it was good. I want to encourage you over the next couple of weeks that you step back and consider what you're doing, how you're living for Christ, how you are living for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that, you know, it's and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Really stands out. Really love how it says it was very good. Just, you know, like the old saying I heard one time that says God doesn't make junk. It was very good. So definitely as we close with chapter 1, moving on into chapter 2, begins with a odd thing, I guess we could say. Starting with chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." So we see on the final day of creation that said God rested. And the application I take away from that is basically saying, whether it's day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7 of our given week, I think we need to set aside a day of rest. We just need to set aside a day of rest where we do absolutely nothing. Maybe we take a rest from technology. That seems to interrupt so much of our lives on a daily basis. So just find that encouraging. It said that God rested on the seventh day, but he made the day holy. So whatever day you choose to make your day of rest, make it holy. Make it a time where you reconnect with God and fall back into his arms and into his presence. So yeah, that's just my thoughts on the day 7 there. So I didn't know what your other thoughts were as we move into the God's commandment for marriage.
Well, I want to step back and just go back real quick to verse 26. We kind of skipped that, but verse 26 in chapter 1 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, and over the fowl, over the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." We see here that man is made in God's image. And as we are made in God's image, I would like to point out one more thing about that seventh rest that Rob was talking about. As we take that day of rest, we also, throughout the weeks and throughout the years and the months, we need to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Yeah, but just want to rest in him. You can find more out about that in the book of Hebrews. I want to mention here, we're moving on now to chapter 2 here, where God planted a garden and put man in the garden. He put man in the garden in chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, to dress it. God designed us to perform and to work. He has a plan for us. We see also in verse 16 through 17, God commanded that man should not eat of the tree. Let's read verses 16 and 17 of chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I just want to point out that God commanded man in here in verse 16 and 17. And we want to keep that in our mind as we move into chapter 3 the next time. But moving on for today, we're going to go and we see in verse 18 through 23, God made woman, for it was not good that man dwell alone. And he made woman that we may have companionship. And I want to talk about God's plan for marriage. Right here, we are before the fall. So God's plan is perfect. We see marriage is the uniting of one man and one woman in the covenant commitment for a lifetime. This is the statement that comes out of the Baptist Faith and Message. I want to give you four God-ordained purposes for marriage. First, companionship. Second, procreation. And to enjoy sex between husband and wife in a covenant commitment between one man and a woman for a lifetime in marriage. Third, to strengthen self-control. Fourth, to serve as a visual of the relationship of Jesus Christ between the church and Christ. I just thank God for marriage. I love my wife, and I know Rob loves his, and I see these areas because it has given me companionship. It's helped me to see my children grow. It's helped me to have more self-control, temperance, and dealing in everyday relationships. It's helped me to see the picture that Christ relating to the church. What a magnificent thing that marriage is. It is a God-ordained purpose. God created marriage here. So in the first two chapters, we see that we have a sovereign God, an omnipotent God that has created all things. There's nothing outside of his power. There is nothing impossible for our God.
Some great insight today. So again, thank you for joining us. We're going to pick up next week with Genesis chapter 3 through 5. And so, again, thank you for listening. We pray that today was just a blessing for you. And so, Pastor Terry is going to close it out for us. And again, thanks for listening.
Do you have any closing remarks or anything you would like to add, Pastor Caleb?
No, not right now. I think we're good.
I just thank God for today, and let us close in prayer. Father Jesus, we just thank you for this time. We ask that we will be a blessing to those that are listening. We ask that we just sow the seed and that you will give the increase, Lord. We ask that you just comfort and bless each and every one that is listening, Lord. We ask that you touch and work in a mighty way. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.